One of the most treasured books I own is also one of the most important books I've read or had the opportunity to share. Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures is its title. It brings me comfort, brings me fresh insights, inspiration, a sense of learning and growth. It brings me healing. And since it was first published in 1875, it's been read and studied by millions. Countless numbers of people have also found healing, inspiration, new direction and comfort in the lessons gained from reading this book, which was revised many times before its final edition by its author, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. In this Women's History Month, today we're turning something of a spotlight on this remarkable American woman who rose from obscurity in New England to become an eminent author, thinker, and religious leader known worldwide. Mind you, Mrs. Eddy was quite careful, though. She never wanted to be seen by students of Christian Sciences, someone to be worshipped. Not at all. She rejected that completely. Yet, in another sense, her role as author can't be separated from her work. Today, as we dive deeper into her story, we're focusing on a period in her life that had a profound impact on her own spiritual growth and how these spiritual insights continue to bring blessings and, yes, healing in the here and now. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown, and joining us today is Mike Davis, a senior researcher at the Mary Baker Eddy Library, which is located at the world headquarters of the Christian Science Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Mike, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David.
Tell us a little bit more about what you do at the Mary Baker Eddy Library and what that library is all about. Is this sort of an extension of the church's old archives function, or do you do more?
The library is an extension of the church's old archives function. When I first worked for the archives, it was called Archives and Library, and then from there it became the Church History Department. Mm-hmm. And from there, it finally became the Mary Baker Eddy Library. And my current role is to work full-time for the Mary Baker Eddy Papers Project. And the goal of the Papers Project is to annotate and prepare archival documents. That's Mary Baker Eddy's papers, letters mm-hmm. written to her, and other papers from the archives to be published online. And to do that, we provide historical context, we transcribe the papers, we annotate them. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see what we've done so far with that, you could go to mbepapers.org and read these papers online.
You know, I'm a real fan of what it is that the library does. As you probably know, Mike, I really enjoy exploring online the many documents and records that go back to Mary Baker Eddy's founding of the church and, you know, the back and forth that she would have with especially many of her early students. We're going to be talking about some really interesting details of Mary Baker Eddy and her time in Stoughton, a critical period in her life and in the life of the movement. But I think that it's probably worth noting that Mrs. Eddy herself had something to say about how the complete expression of Christian Science, you can find it in her textbook, right? Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures.
Right. Science and Health is the authority on Christian Science teaching and practice. And anything that we say or think about Christian Science practice has to be backed up by what's in Science and Health. And we can constantly get new ideas about Christian Science practice by studying Science and Health. That's the absolute authority. And that, along with the Bible, these are our textbooks for learning about Christian Science.
You know, I learned a long time ago, there was a quote that was attributed to Mary Baker Eddy, "Follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ." That's a real quote, right?
Yes, that's in her published writings. It's not in Science and Health, but she published several other books too. And there are many letters that she wrote, too, where she admonishes students not to worship her personality.
I feel it's important to talk about this a little bit more in depth because You know, we often hear on Sentinel Watch talk about the healings and a lot of the teachings of Christian Science and how they have brought about just really remarkable, powerful demonstrations of the truth that Mrs. Eddy taught in Science and Health. And at the same time, I feel like since we are talking here a lot about the author of Science and Health, I'm wondering if you can shed a little bit more light on why she was so concerned that those who study Christian Science not become personally attached to her as a figure of worship or an idol.
Well, she really saw personality worship as a form of idolatry, and it was turning to a human being, a human personality, rather than to God. And her whole message was that genuine spiritual or Christian healing, God was the healing power. It's not a person that's doing the healing. A person can turn to God and experience God's healing power, but it's you never want to exalt the person.
Why was Stoughton, Massachusetts so important in Mary Baker Eddy's own personal trajectory?
Well, let's go back to her healing in February of 1866 from the fall on the ice. Now, later that year, in the fall of 1866, she began writing a document, her notes on Genesis, which was to be the first volume of a much larger work called The Bible and Its Spiritual Meaning. She eventually, once she'd finished the Genesis part, did not continue with that longer proposed volume. But so she had started writing that, and she was doing healing work and learning more about the nature of Christian Science, the nature of what she had discovered in that healing experience earlier that year.
And when you say learning, what was she doing? Was she reading the Bible? Was she praying? What was she doing during the...
Yeah, she was praying, reading the Bible. She was taking patients, actually healing people.
Wow.
And fairly early on, she started teaching as well. Her first student, not long after that, was Hiram Crafts. She lived with the Crafts family. They actually lived in the Stoughton area. So he was her first student, and then she lived with some other people for brief periods, like, for instance, the Webster family, and then Miss Sarah Bagley in Amesbury, Massachusetts. And then she came back to the Stoughton area and lived with the Wentworth family in Stoughton. The husband's name was Allenson Wentworth, his wife's Sally Wentworth, and they had three children living at home.
Sounded like a real full house there in Stoughton.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So Sally Wentworth was healed by Mrs. Eddy of some sort of a throat disease that she'd had for a long time. And Celia was healed of tuberculosis by Mrs. Eddy. And so Sally really wanted to learn Christian Science healing. So what they set up was for Mrs. Eddy to come and live there in the Wentworth household and get room and board in exchange for teaching Sally Wentworth how to heal through Christian Science. The Wentworths provided her not only with food, but also a nice room where she could be quiet and study and pray. And so she was also writing during that time. She had been developing what we call teaching manuscripts that she started to use in teaching students and eventually in classes. And so those were being developed during that time. And she would also have copyists make copies of them so that some of the students could have their own copies. And Sally Wentworth became one of the copyists. So one of the main documents that she was working on during that time was originally called Questions and Answers in Moral Science and eventually was called The Science of Man. And that is a very important document for the history of Christian Science because it eventually got into Science and Health in the third edition as the chapter Recapitulation. It's the basis of Christian Science class instruction today. So this document that she was, even back then when she lived with the Wentworths, she was working on, it was such an important thing for the history of Christian Science.
You're putting so much together for me, because you mentioned that this writing that she was working on was first sort of set up as a series of questions and answers. And in fact, as I look at my current copy of Recapitulation, it's set up as a series of questions and answers. Is it much changed from what she wrote there in Stoughton?
Well, some of the questions are very similar, but it definitely evolved quite a bit. But one of the things she has in those early manuscripts that she was actually working on during the Stoughton years, she has a lot in there about how to be an excellent healer. What is the requirement for the healer to be an excellent healer?
Oh, say more about that. What is the requirement to be an excellent healer? What did Mrs. Eddy say?
Okay, let me read a few quotes from one of the copies of that manuscript that she worked on during that period. For instance, one of the questions here, she says, basically, how can I practice healing so my healing ability can be wonderful and immediate? She uses those words, wonderful and immediate.
Oh, I like that.
And the answer to that one she gives, by being like Jesus, by asking yourself, am I honest? Am I just? Am I merciful? Am I pure? And being able to respond with your demonstrations, to let what you can do for the sick answer this and not your lips. For if you are becoming what is required of you, then you are law to yourself and will ask, am I doing to others as I would they should do to me? Am I seeking the praise of man or the praise of God, which means in science, am I asking the soul to approve or am I asking this of sense? And the answer will be found in science by which you may know. You know, I would love to see people go in and in the Mary Baker Eddy paper site, you can read these entire documents. They're all in there. So I'm just reading some brief quotes from them. But so another passage from the same document, she says, if you are seeking money in your practice more than a growth of your own, more than to be perfectly pure and honest and just and meek and loving, then you are asking of sense instead of soul for happiness, and your patients will not recover as well. They will gain at first up to you, and then you are not sufficiently beyond them and nearer soul to carry them away from sense by following you. A stream rises no higher than its fount. If you are vain, selfish, or avaricious, or deceiving, or unjust when you are practicing healing the sick, remember, you are holding on to an error as strongly as your patient, and the only difference is his is an error of pain and sense, and yours is an error of pleasure and sense or matter. If you feel a growing pride, know that this is error and not truth. If you are petulant and irritable, watch. If you are loving tobacco or associates in folly, I'm going to skip over some of this now. If you take pleasure in any way and sense, then you are looking in the wrong way. And if you look long, you will certainly go there in belief and cannot draw your patient out of error while you are being drawn into it.
It sounds like Mrs. Eddy during that time in Stoughton was really seeing it important to draw that line and draw it firmly between what the senses were telling us about self and what she was teaching in science and health.
Right.
Could you say more about this period in Stoughton? Something that struck me was how she seemed to be moving from place to place in those early years. Was she looking for a home, or was it just that so many people were curious they would throw open their doors to this woman who was showing the world that spiritual healing was real?
Well, there were several reasons why. For one thing, she and her husband, Daniel Patterson, her second husband, she was known as Mrs. Patterson at the time, they were no longer living together, and she divorced him in 1873. So she needed a place to live and really didn't have much money at that time. And so she would look for places to room and board. And in a number of cases, the people that she roomed and boarded with were interested in her ideas and wanted to learn about spiritual healing. And so there was that. And then other times, they were just people who took in boarders. So it could be a number of things. And then eventually, she got a home of her own when she purchased 8 Broad Street in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Tell me a little bit more about why someone who is wanting to know more about Christian Science or about its founder, discoverer and founder, Mary Baker Eddy, would want to learn more about these years in Stoughton. What is it that brings to someone who is a student of Christian Science to know more about the history of Mary Baker Eddy?
Well, I think it shows how Mrs. Eddy was herself working and growing to do even constantly better healing work and to better articulate her metaphysics. And I think one valuable thing about learning about Mrs. Eddy's life is you can see how she meets various trials that she went through, and also how she was growing spiritually during those times. And you can see many lessons to be learned from her life.
It almost seems like one of those demonstrations, as we might say in Christian Science, that demonstration of being protected, was that even though it didn't seem like she had a place to call her own for a long time, she certainly found peace and security and was able to make leaps and bounds in her own spiritual growth by being able to stay there with the Wentworths.
Yes, I would say that's true. It's interesting, though, that although the Wentworth family thought very highly of her and were happy to have her there, the oldest son, Horace Wentworth, turned very much against her, and he wasn't living under the same roof with the rest of the Wentworths, but he was definitely opposed to her. And it seems like often she met with opposition, too, from various quarters. And we can see in her life how she moved through those times of dealing with opposition. For instance, when she decided to move back to Sarah Bagley's house and leave the Wentworth family, Horace gave out this false story that she had slashed the furniture in her room and left live coals there, hoping to burn the house down. But the Wentworths who were actually there, for instance, the son, Charles Wentworth, said that's just totally false. That never happened. And so, you know, that's an example of some of the opposition she would encounter.
How would Mrs. Eddy deal with that opposition?
Well, sometimes it was frustrating to her, but I think she constantly was trying to deal with it in a Christian way. You can see her wanting to express love towards these people, and sometimes she just had to have nothing more to do with them. But, you know, she did her best to express love to them in a sense of practicing what Jesus said of loving your enemies and also praying to God for the wisdom to work through these situations. You know, other things she did there in Stoughton was she gave some lectures, and a lot of people were asking her for healing. She healed Lucy Wentworth of deafness, for example, and Allison Wentworth was healed of sciatica and also smoking and chewing tobacco.
Wow.
So, I mean, there was just healing going on all over the place there. And a lot of the healings we don't even have records of, because she said in a letter that, you know, so many people are calling on her for healing.
Did Mrs. Eddy write down the particulars of these cases?
Well, there's one where she healed John Scott during that time of enteritis and bowel stoppage. And I'd like to read her analysis of what she did in that healing.
Say more about that. Who is this person again, and what was the...
He was a guy that lived there in Stoughton. He wasn't part of the Wentworth family, but he had actually turned to Sally Wentworth for healing, and she was unable to help him. So Mrs. Eddy was brought into the case. So Mrs. Eddy left an account of this, and let me read that. She says, "I was once called to visit a sick man to whom the regular physicians had given 3 doses of croton oil and then left him to die. Upon my arrival, I found him barely alive and in terrible agony. In 1 hour, he was well, and the next day he attended to his business. I removed the stoppage, healed him of enteritis, and neutralized the bad effects of the poisonous oil. His physicians had failed to even move his bowels. though the wonder was, with the means used in their effort to accomplish this result, they had not quite killed him. According to their diagnosis, the exciting cause of the inflammation and stoppage was eating smoked herring. The man is living yet, and I will send his address to anyone who may wish to apply to him for information about his case. Now comes the question, had that sick man dominion over the fish in his stomach? His want of control over the fish of the sea must have been an illusion, or else the scriptures misstate man's power. That the Bible is true, I believe, not only, but I have demonstrated its truth when I exercised my power over the fish, cast out the sick man's illusion, and healed him. Thus it was shown that the healing action of mind upon the body has its only explanation in divine metaphysics. And then this healing was actually much later written up in the newspaper The Boston Traveler in 1900, and here's a quote from that article. "Remarkable as was the man's physical healing, even more remarkable was the transformation in his thought and life. His wife told Mrs. Eddy a few days later that she had never before seen him hug his children, as other fathers did, but on the night of his recovery, he called them to him, and taking them in his arms, he told them that he loved them. And with tears rolling down his cheeks, he said to his wife, 'I'm going to be a better man.' It is not strange that the happy wife said to Mrs. Eddy, 'Oh, how I thank you for restoring my husband to health. But more than all, I am grateful for what you have done for him morally and spiritually.'"
Wow. That is impressive. Unpack that a little bit, Mike. What do you think that Mrs. Eddy was doing when she says that she removed the stoppage? What was going on there?
Well, we know that she believed that God did the healing. And so I think that, you know, she often talks about how she was able to tune in, if you will, to the one infinite divine mind. And that enabled her, in a sense, by reflection, to move the blockage and so forth.
By reflection? How do you mean?
Well, Christian Science, of course, teaches that man is the image and likeness of God, or the reflection of God. And so it's like light shining, and you can reflect that light and bring healing to people, but it's not your personal power that does it. I mean, she does say, "I removed the stoppage," but given what everything she teaches about healing, it would have been that the power of God was what came into the situation to remove the stoppage.
So what was Mrs. Eddy's role then in seeing her patient as what? I mean, what was her role there? Because this kind of gets to what Jesus's role was in healing as well, you know? He didn't want to claim the healing for himself. He was constantly referring to his Father as doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when the Pharisees were claiming that he was healing essentially through the power of Satan or Beelzebub, that he said, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." So the finger of God to me suggests in that case, it was the sense of becoming conscious of God's presence and power.
I've sometimes, Mike, wondered about why it seemed that healing was so important in Christian Science. And yet it must have been really striking, not just for that man who was healed, but for everyone around him to see the change in the person, you know, to see how he was embracing his family and how he seemed to be a completely changed person. And I guess that kind of comes at why Mrs. Eddy thought healing was so important. It wasn't just overcoming whatever it was that our human experience is claiming that's unjust, you know, about us, but that others get to see it and they get to witness God's presence, that Christ at work, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And, you know, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, a major theme is the coming of the kingdom of God. And scholars say that Jesus's healings are presented there as a sign of the kingdom of God breaking into human experience and showing that God is actually governing and reigning rather than, you know, Satan or mortal mind or whatever we might want to call it. And for Jesus, healing was a completely spiritual thing. It was actually the power of God breaking in rather than just a human mind.
If someone wanted to read more about Mrs. Eddy's time in Stoughton, what would be a good entry point for him?
Well, there are biographies of Mrs. Eddy that have quite a bit about the time in Stoughton. For instance, Robert Peel's first volume of his three-volume biography, Mary Baker Eddy, The Years of Discovery. Then Gillian Gill has quite a bit of material in her biography of Mrs. Eddy. But so I would say biographies. And then you can read all sorts of correspondence and these early teaching manuscripts on the Mary Baker Eddy paper site, because we've covered that period so far in the project. And so there are these things available there for you to read. And then even there are things, reminiscences. Some of the Wentworth family actually left reminiscences later, and they talk about their time when Mrs. Eddy was there in Stoughton. So look at the Mary Baker Eddy Library website, and you'll see all sorts of resources that are available there. There are ways to search in that site and find out where some of the resources are.
And we'll have links on the webpage for this episode of Sentinel Watch, of course. Mike Davis is a senior researcher at the Mary Baker Eddy Library, located at the headquarters of Christian Science Church, First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Mike, it's been a real pleasure to talk with you today on Sentinel Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jono Bobo. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Still looking for a summer internship that's the right fit? Or do you know someone who is? Apply to join the team for the 2026 Summer Internship Program at the Mother Church, or share about it with a university student or recent grad. Internship information can be found at christianscience.com/internships.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.